As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Football Show.
Welcome. The Athletic Football Show. I'm Robert Mays. Joining me today, it's my good friend Nate Tice. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
Just have you seen Basketball, right? The movie?
Of course.
Yeah, yes. It's actually one of my favorite movies. I think it's one of the funniest movies ever. But they have the scene where it's like an overtime game or an extra innings game, and it's I think it's Dan Patrick and Kenny Mayne, and they're like falling asleep at the thing, and they're just like, oh, beers win, beers win. That's how the free agency period feels to me, is beers win.
It hasn't started yet.
I know, but that's where we're at. We're at Sunday into Monday, and that's how this exactly feels to me. I'm like, I'm waking up just going, oh, beers win right now. That's exactly how I feel.
So just so everyone understands, we're recording this. It's 5:12 Central time on Sunday evening. If something crazy happens between now and tomorrow morning, we will hopefully be able to respond to it in midday tomorrow. Let's hypothetically say the Rodgers trade happens. Hopefully we'll have something for you. At the very least, we're going to be coming your way at 3:30 p.m. Eastern to kick off our live free agency recaps. We're going to have those on YouTube every day, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, me and you. I will be off on Friday. But the tampering period starts Monday listening to this. So we're going to kick off those shows at 3:30 p.m. Monday, so be on the lookout for that. There's just a lot of stuff happening, and a lot of stuff happened today. We're going to talk about some of those, we're calling them Kirkland brand free agent signings that we like. So guys that are at the top of the market, who's the Kirkland brand of that you can maybe get at a discount? We are going to still do a couple of those at the end of the show, but a lot of stuff already happened on Sunday that we just need to respond to, some pretty big news. And that started this morning with the news that Jalen Ramsey had been traded to the Miami Dolphins for a third round pick and tight end Hunter Long, the linchpin in this deal. The Dolphins give Jalen Ramsey a new deal, reportedly from Ian Rappaport, with $25 million in guarantees and a $20 million AAV. We'll see how they get to that $20 million when we actually see the terms. My first reaction, seems kind of low, huh?
Right, a third. Third seems low. Third seems low. I get the contract and everything, but third still seems low, especially I don't care if it's the, you're selling the contract. He's nearing 30. It's still pretty damn good player. And a third seems really low. I understand not a first, but I thought maybe a second would be a part of this package.
So a couple things that have trickled out today. Jordan Rodriguez said the five teams were apparently involved in the bidding. Reportedly, the Rams did not want to trade him to the NFC.
Because they're going to be competing soon, you know.
I think that's misguided. If that's actually one of the things that was driving the price and where they were looking, who cares?
I know.
I would just try to get the most you possibly can for him. If he's on the Cowboys and he's playing great and you got to watch him with the Cowboys, I guess that's sort of a bummer. But I don't think that should really impact how you're trying to look at this. Albert Breer reported that the new deal, which you alluded to, might have scared off some teams. They didn't want to give a 30-year-old or soon-to-be 30-year-old corner a new contract upwards of $20 million a year. I can understand that to an extent, but this is one of those deals where it feels like the team making the trade, he's more valuable to them than he is to a team like the Rams or maybe a lot of other teams that aren't necessarily as close to contention or at least don't have the mindset that the Dolphins do. Whether or not they're a Jalen Ramsey away from getting where they want to go, they clearly think that they're pretty close based on some of the moves that they've made over the last week or so. So what do you think about this from Miami's side of it?
I mean, I like it. They are making no mistake or no, like, you can't misconstrue what their mindset is right now. It's kind of finally Jalen Ramsey's going from the old team that was kind of like doing this with pushing it to the window to a new team that's trying to like just jam everything to wedge that window open. And I think that's what it is. They're in a kind of a 2-year set right here, really a 1-year, but maybe we'll see them in 2024. And that's what they're committed to with Ramsey, it seems like, with the guaranteed deals and reworking the contract. So I think that's what it is. They're just trying to wedge open that window as far open as possible to jam their way through it. The AFC East is going through some kind of personality changes. The Bills have a lot of questions to answer. The Patriots have their whole identity that they have to make shift and figure out, and they have to figure out what they're going to spend their cap space on. So I understand that this is not a bad time to compete, even though the AFC is still, you know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks and pretty good teams in the AFC, but why not? Hey, in for a penny, in for a pound. That's what it feels like for the Dolphins. So I understand it. I still think Ramsey is a very good player. I know it's kind of become the cool thing to say that he's dropped off, but I think Ramsey just stopped trying for 2 months. And then in December, he tried again and he was, oh yeah, you're really, really good. And again, I think he'll age gracefully. I don't think they're looking at it this way, but I do think he can make that shift to safety if the corner stuff doesn't work out. He's just still a fantastic, useful player. And now he's going with a defensive coordinator that's going to use him in a very, very good way, because Jalen Ramsey, you can use in a lot of good ways.
Looking at the Jared Goff contract, it's interesting that you say that the Dolphins are kind of now in the mindset that the Rams were in before. So in 2019, when the Rams made the initial Jalen Ramsey trade,
yeah,
it was about a month and a half after they signed Goff to that extension. But he was still on a cheap deal in 2019. Mm-hmm. It was $10.6 million against the cap, even after the contract extension that he signed. So the Dolphins are kind of in that mode now. It's like, we got a quarterback on a rookie deal, and we're doing everything we can to maximize this.
So even the Ramsey stuff happened in the Stafford thing that followed a few months later. I mean, that's what you trade a first rounder for Bradley Chubb. You're not doing that if you're like, yeah, we're going to really remake this team and rebuild
absolutely.
It. That was one move. You know, use that term again, but you cross the Rubicon as soon as you do that. And then now, boom, this is just, hey, we're in. This is what we're doing. And I don't hate it. A third rounder is not like something I'm really squinting at. I think that's totally fair, even with the contract. I mean, more than fair.
I have more doubts than you do about how well he'll age, just because if he is going to play corner for them and he's not that lockdown guy anymore at age 31 or 32, where you're really flipping the math with him out there, devoting $20 million a year to your cap, there is a little bit of danger in it. But like you just said, they're in, man. Like, this is the, I could see them sitting there looking at the way that the landscape looked at that position, knowing that they had a hole there, and saying, this is our best option. This is our best option to maximize the team we have right now, and that is our priority. I believe they freed up like $40 million in cap space here over the last week or so, restructuring Tyreek's contract, which got them to about $18 million. Ramsey is at a $17 million cap hit. So there it is. That you paid for the Jalen Ramsey deal. That's before the rework deal. We'll see what his cap hit actually is this year. But then they also got $25 million by restructuring Chubb and Armstead. Like, they're going for it. They got five guys on the books for at least $20 million in 2024. That doesn't include Jalen Ramsey.
That's really funny. Yeah, because I think it's 17 mil 2023 and 18 and a half in 2024. And
that's before the WeWork deal. We'll see what happens when the new money actually kicks in and what those cap hits look like. But yeah, so they're pushing it in, man. And them as currently constructed, with bringing Fangio in, I think corner was arguably the biggest hole they had on the roster. So now you look at it top to bottom, offensive line probably still a little bit of a question.
Yeah.
But other than that, if Tua is healthy, I understand them thinking, if this all clicks for us, why can't it break our way? And that's clearly the bet that they're making, but I understand that mindset.
I do too. Especially what that offense did last year and what before Tua got hurt at the very end and the changes they were making. That offense is a contending offense. You can make a run in the playoffs with the offense, what they showed last year, truly. And the defense was kind of up and down, and kind of, you know, that's why they make the Chubb trade. Chubb is kind of a unique player where it's not like he's a true, you know, bendy pass rushing wizard, but he's a very useful player because he can drop. He can kind of do a lot of things well. And okay, all right, that's a good move, you know, but not really one that like truly changes the math. So I think this is where, hey, let's get another good player to add onto our defense and get really the best, I would say the top free agent of players or coaches this whole offseason in Vic Fangio. So let's make our defense a true weapon and give him players. And Fangio has shown even how he can kind of rework and tweak his scheme. Where, remember when he was with Surtain during his rookie year, all of a sudden they're running all this man coverage and they're using all that. And I'm not saying, you know, Ramsey and Surtain, they're kind of like a similar tier, but Ramsey's a little half tier, I think, below Surtain now. But still, he's able to shift, and now he's got true players. They're not just going one star and okay, everybody else figured it out. A lot of useful, good players, especially up front, Christian Wilkins and Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips really came on last year, and Christian Wilkins, we've talked about him on the show, is a truly, truly a force on the interior. A lot of good pieces. So like you said, it's really offensive line. This is a system that has, and Tua's time to throw has negated some of that offensive line woes. But, you know, add to that, maybe get a useful running back. They're you know, maybe they got a stew going. And I understand why they're cooking that stew. I really do. Why would you do all that and make the Chubb trade and then all of a sudden go, you know what, never mind. Which is pun on this year. Like, it doesn't make sense. So I get why they're doing it for this regime.
I mean, you're cranking it up into the red, but that can also go wrong. You have a 31-year-old Xavien Howard next year who's making $26 million against the cap. And you have a 33-year-old Teron Armstead. Hurt pretty often, making $21 million against.
You're gonna get 10 games out of them.
They're playing a dangerous game. Get why they're playing it, but they are absolutely playing a dangerous game where the cliff could be coming a lot faster than it might seem.
And I think with Howard too. Everyone's saying like Xavien Howard's a number one. Xavien Howard's living off his reputation a little bit this past year. So, but knocking him down to a number
up.
Two.
He was banged up, but again, when you get into your 30s.
Corners fall off a cliff. Yes, it can. But no, I totally get it. It's like, it's dangerous, but they're going for it. Which, what, the goal is to win the Super Bowl. So go for it. Why not? It's not my money. It's not my team.
Speaking of driving your team off the cliff in the hopes of winning a Super Bowl, let's talk about the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh my God.
Barnwell tweeted a picture of the depth chart from the Super Bowl. It's shocking. I mean, this team right now, after trading Jalen Ramsey and releasing Leonard Floyd, is essentially Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, and that's it.
And yeah, that's really it.
I mean, Joe Noteboom's on an extension, but that's depends on how you feel about that. Van Jefferson is still on the roster.
It's rough. I like looking at the multi-year salary cap breakdown, and it's remarkable when you look at the Rams and just like who they have under contract in 2024 and everything, like, and just you look at certain positions like offensive line, like it's bad.
So what are they over the next couple years?
I think they are still in fire sale mode. I think that's what it is, but McVay's coming back. It's kind of, I don't know. I think that's what they're in. They're reconfiguring.
They reworked Stafford's contract. So right. He's going to be there.
They just have so many holes.
The Ramsey was the only guy whose contract they didn't touch. So I think they have plans or have already reconfigured the deals for the other big guys, according to what Jordan has reported. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like they're going to sell off the rest of those pieces. So I think you're kind of trying to negotiate this season with those guys that we just talked about in place.
Yeah.
And Matthew Stafford, and then just a bunch of young guys. I mean, Jordan wrote this. I think most people have said it. They like their young corners. Darian Kendrick, Robert Rochelle, guys like that. It's like, okay. I mean, it just, you're squaring that like group of young players like that with this nucleus that you have paid a ton of money to retain after the Super Bowl. They're just doing multiple things at the same time. And that balancing act just feels really hard to pull off to me.
It really does. It's that, like you just asked, like, what are they? Like, and that's truly, I have no idea. Like, I just don't know what they're thinking. Are they thinking, but that's the thing is like, McVay's not coming back to rebuild a team, you know? Like, and that just doesn't,
it kind of seems like he might be, though.
But it kind of is, right? But if you told me that a year ago, like, he's going to be part of the rebuild when the Rams kind of nuke all this, I would have been like, really? I thought he'd be on Monday Night Football before I'd see him kind of going through another rookie contract quarterback. I don't know what they're going to do with Stafford, but I'm just saying, going on to the next steps of this Rams franchise. But he might be. It's It seems like they are trying to do something. That it doesn't seem like they're like going like, well, fuck it, get rid of everybody. Let's just start over. They're trying to straddle both sides of this. It's more of a reshuffling and a retooling than an actual full blown rebuild, which is interesting.
$5 million in dead money. They're just like a zombie team. That's what it feels like. They're just the zombie Rams.
Have you seen the zombie Rams? Well, how about Aaron Donald? Even with the void, his contract going out to 2025, he has a $29 million cap hit on a voided year in 2025.
34 next year. Oh, on a voided year.
On a voided year, it's $29 million in 2025. So, yeah, whatever Aaron Donald does, no matter what, he's on your books for $29 million in 2025. Like we talk about threading needles. This is a tough one. This is a tough one to rework.
The Brian Burns non-trade now becomes a fascinating sliding doors moment. What if the Panthers had said yes? So now you have this zombie team that has Brian Burns on it, but doesn't have first round picks in the next 2 years after this. Mm-hmm. So at that point, are they too committed to that version of the roster where it's kind of win now and we have these pieces? Do you keep Jalen Ramsey in that case? Do they still try to trade Jalen Ramsey? Do they still feel like they can rebuild even if Brian Burns is on the roster and they don't have those first round picks? And where does it leave the Panthers? If they had made this deal. Arguably, I think you could say they'd be in a better spot because they could have made the trade up for their quarterback without losing anything else. Yeah. You'd have the 2024 first, the 2025 first that you could have sent to Chicago, and you would have gotten to keep DJ Moore, but still gone up for the quarterback.
Yeah, and build around the quarterback. But what we say now, it's like, yeah, they have questions to answer with their pass catchers. And so that's super interesting because even like, they move up for this quarterback, and I'm talking about the Panthers, and now they're talking about, oh, we might sell the number one pick, which is so funny to me. But it's, you move up for him, offensive line looks great, and putting that drop in whatever young guy you want into that system, but still you got to figure out the pass catching situation. You're always plugging a hole somewhere. So like they're giving that first rounder, like, okay, yeah, well that's extra. And also how valuable a Rams first round pick might be in 2024 and 2025.
Yeah.
Just like the Lions are benefiting from this year. You just don't know what I know. That is super fascinating. And it makes me, I don't know. You're right. That is a sliding doors moment for like not only just what the Rams are going to end up doing, because now they got first round picks. I don't think they know what to do with them. They're kind of like, I guess we take them. I guess we use these guys. Anybody want to trade something for it? We're not nuking the team. We still want to compete, apparently.
We talked about this in the moment. You said it earlier. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They did. And all those jokes about them just riding this thing into the ground and, you know, this is a problem for future me and fuck those picks and all of that. The Bills do.
Yep. This was the ghost of Christmas future.
The Bills do. And there's a real conversation to be had about how much does it matter to win? You know, if you win one, how much does it gloss over? Because they got breaks. You know, you have to get breaks to do it. And I don't think that they were some genius team in some of these moves that they made when they went out and traded for Von Miller as a rental. And they really did leverage their future to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And they got the breaks that they needed to win that Super Bowl. So that bargain that you make with yourself when you're operating that way, we are seeing what it really looks like in plain view now.
Right. They had a window, like just what we were talking about with the Dolphins. They had a window. They wedged it open as much as possible. And it's a bet. All these moves are bets. Some are 99% bets that you think the return on investment is going to be. Some are, man, this is a 1 in 10 shot of working, but it helps us out a little bit. It's just another bet to make. They made a huge bet, several huge bets, and they hit. But that's the thing, is that it's hard to do. It's hard to sustain success year after year, like unless you have some great cap magic or a great quarterback or some, you know, plan and hit draft picks and all that. It's really hard to sustain this. So they went all in the 1 year, crushed it, and then now this is what Ghost of Christmas Future is calling and knocking on their door and going like, yep, yeah. Bills do now. Hey, this is what's going to happen, especially with your team right now. It's going to be might be a little rough after, you know, after that victory parade you had last year.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, let's get to the other bit of big news that happened today. Deron Payne signs a 4-year, $90 million extension with the Washington football team. I mean, it's hard to figure out what they want to do, okay? Yeah. And we can get into that here in a second. $22.5 million a year. Payne resets the non-Aaron Donald defensive tackle market, which I think is an important distinction.
It is.
$60 million guaranteed, the same amount that Chris Jones got on his 4-year, $80 million deal that he signed 2 years ago. First things first, good for Deron Payne. Mm-hmm. It's a huge amount of money for a guy that I don't think was considered worth that a year ago before the season that he just had. So congrats on the contract year, Deron.
Yes. Can't spell paid off a contract year without Deron Payne. I worked it out. It actually works. That's a true statement.
How this fits into Washington's plans, I don't really know how to articulate. Okay. Next season, 2024, Washington has $40 million a year in AAV on their books for two defensive tackles. Two good defensive tackles,
yes,
but they have committed to that as like the mm-hmm. core of their financial investments. The players that Washington has under contract next season, the two defensive tackles, Terry McLaurin, Charles Leno, and Chase Rouye, both of whom have very little dead money on their deals. Other than their recent draft classes, that's it.
Yeah.
And they could move on for both of those offensive linemen if they want to. Chase Young, fifth year option is going to be a question. If they don't pick that up, then he's a free agent after this season. Montez Sweat, free agent after this year.
Who also had a huge year last year, too.
It's kind of a blank slate other than the McLaurin deal and the two deals that they've handed out for those defensive tackles.
Yes.
So I don't know. Like let's say this regime gets fired, for example, this year. Let's say that they ride with Sam Howell or whatever the quarterback plans up being, and they get fired, or they don't get fired because the ownership thing is in question and that's in flux. It's just so hard to understand what this team is going to look like over the next 18 months, mm-hmm. let's say. But all they really have is McLaurin and these two guys. And the fact that they were willing to commit to this with all of those things in question and so many different competing motivations seemingly in place, they're just so hard for me to get a handle on, and I could admit that, and that's why in some ways it's like hard to judge what the Washington ramifications of this deal are.
Agreed. It's the player is worth the money, and I think John Allen's worth the money, and Scary Terry, they're all worth the money. So that's nice to have, but like you said, Sam Howell is their only quarterback right now, and that kind of sums up really nicely what their situation is. It's like, what is this? Is that truly what you guys think? Are you guys trying to do something and make a move? Are you going to try and sign a stopgap? Like, that's, I totally agree with you that it's really hard to figure out what exactly they are, because usually you can tell what a team's plan is based on building blocks and based on quarterback. Their building blocks right now are two defensive linemen and a receiver. And after that, like you said, after that, who knows? So I'm agreed with you. I think it's more, the takeaway from this is more interesting about the defensive tackle market and all the guys that are going
to
come up in the next.
That's the most interesting part.
I think that's of all this. No, sorry, Washington fans, but it's really hard.
I have one more question for you. If after they paid Jonathan Allen, after they paid mm-hmm. Deron Payne, Young, if they don't pick up his fifth year option, and Sweat, but again, both free agents after this year, it doesn't seem like they can afford all those guys.
I don't think so.
So if you're another team, Would you call about either of those guys right now? Feels
yes.
like I would.
I mean, I would.
Sweat is 100% a free agent after this season. His fifth-year options are already come and gone. So he's going to be on the market if they do not resign him. Which when you get to the last year of your deal, some of these guys, that just feels like a signal that they might be available for the right price. So if I'm a team looking at this free agent group of edge rushers and not loving it, I'd make a phone call probably because it doesn't feel like they can afford them all.
I would definitely. Chase Young, of course, was a top pick, and it's like was talented. Now he's battled injuries, and we got to see what this. That's why it's interesting about what extending him for the fifth year or the picking up the option, I should say. But Montez Sweat has been fine, you know, first couple of years as a starter in the league, and then this past year was a true plus player, and that's the guy I would be calling about. He's shown that he's been healthy now. He has now proven that it's not just, you know, he gets the auxiliary help from everybody else. He's beaten up on tight ends on the outside. He's a good, like, kind of speed to power kind of bull rusher. Really productive. I think he had a lot of pressures this year, a good amount of QB hits. Like, he was in the top in a lot of numbers if you look at a lot of the metrics. That's a guy I would for sure
fourth be on in the league in quarterback hits among edge defenders. Bosa, yes. Max Crosby, Josh Allen, only one ahead of him. He had 62 pressures, which was tied for 13th in the league with my guy, Charles Omenihu. On a per-snap basis, he was 23rd in PFF's pass rush productivity, right above Brian Burns, two spots down from Josh Sweat. And if you look at guys who got over 50% of their team snaps, he was 13th in that metric, tied with Josh Allen, right ahead of Brian Burns, just a couple spots down from Jalen Phillips.
His play style is a lot like Bud Dupree, but he's already a better player than Bud Dupree has ever shown. And Bud Dupree
kind of
got
paid. Bone of China shop action.
Just long push. Push. But he does it really well. And he's a useful player. I don't think he'll ever be a number one guy. But, man, if I were a contender and this, we think
he's
this is
a
year.
He's on a $10.5 million cap at this year.
Yes. And he's worth.
Yeah, you probably want to sign him to an extension.
Yeah.
If you were. But
18? That's probably.
If you were the one trading for him and you're the only team negotiating with him, can you get him for a decent number if you're looking for help at that position? I'd at least call.
I'd always call too. I think he's definitely worth a day two pick. I think that'd be a very, very useful player that usually doesn't hit the market.
All right. What you just mentioned, what does this now do to the defensive tackle market? Because Jeffrey Simmons, Quinnen Williams, Dexter Lawrence, they are all up for extensions right now. And they are all better players and more proven players, I think, than Daron Payne.
Yeah.
So what are those guys going to get if Daron Payne is worth this deal? If I'm Dexter Lawrence's agent, I'm doing fucking backflips right now.
Oh, my God. Him and Simmons, all these guys, like, these guys. That's the thing. We did our all pro team, and I mentioned Daron Payne was like, oh, yeah, an honorable mention. You all throw him in. All these all pros are like rookie contract guys, the guys that we nominated. Yeah. They're about to get so they're younger and also like have been better, like, especially Dexter Lawrence. I mean, the year they had this past year, really the past 18 months, two ish years. I mean, God, 25? Are these guys going to get 24?
It seems like that it shouldn't be out of the question for some of these guys. Okay.
Worth it.
So that would kind of split the difference between the old market setting number, which was done by, I believe, DeForest Buckner had that, but also Leonard Williams did, but he was kind of hard to define because he played a little bit on the edge.
Yeah.
So, but the DeForest Buckner number was really the last number. That was like $21 million a year. And obviously Aaron Donald is up near 30. So if these guys split the difference at like 25, that doesn't seem crazy to me. Max Crosby's deal was 4 for 94, which is $23.5 million a year. I think all these guys justifiably could ask for that.
Yeah.
But if one of them asked for like 4 for 100 with like $65 million guaranteed, setting
that's
the
gonna,
new guaranteed number outside of Donald and the AAB, I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. If I were Dexter Lawrence's people, that's what I would want.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially what. And especially it's like, hey, well, I'm a building block, right? Do you guys want to lock me down? Like, yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's that 4 for 100 is like what you just said, or 4 for 96, you know, something of that sort. Like that is exactly the range. Cap's going up. Yes, I understand. Like there's always going to be a natural inflation, but there's a lot of talented players coming up. And that's usually tied in together where we're going, wow, defensive tackle market, it's exploding. Yeah, there's a lot of good players at the position. That's why it's exploding. And they're going to get paid now. So I think that's exactly what's going on right now. But I, like you said, I think those agents and players are going to be very, very happy with the deals that they could potentially get.
You could have one of those three guys at 25 a year. Who do you want?
God, Quinnen Williams. That's tough, though. I'll go Quinnen, Dexter, Simmons, and then Wilkins, because Wilkins is coming up too.
Yeah, Wilkins is coming up too. That was another thing to consider for Miami.
God.
Because they have to pay him. I believe he's on his fifth-year option right now as well.
Yeah, and he was fantastic. That's tough, though. That's like picking between my children. I know you love all of those guys. I do. It's really tough. But that's the thing for me is like Dexter. I'll go Quinnen. I'd probably say Quinnen, just slightly though. Don't get mad.
You know my answer. I'm a Dexter Lawrence guy all day.
Absolutely.
He's become like one of my three or four favorite players in the entire league.
Actually, like all those guys that we just mentioned are some of my favorite players. Period. Like that's why it's really tough to pick between them. I love them all. So glad they're getting paid and recognized.
Christian Wilkins is a free agent after this season. So I have to assume Miami will extend him. If they do, they could probably keep his cap number fairly low to kind of combat those, again, five guys making at least $20 million next year, including their quarterback. But that's on the fifth-year option, so not surprising for a top-five pick. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, Ian Rappaport reporting earlier today that when free agency opens, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are likely to make a run at Baker Mayfield and have him compete with Kyle Trask. How does this make you feel?
Sure. Sure. Sure.
It always felt like they were going to be in this place.
Yeah.
They were going to have limited options. They don't have a ton of money to throw around. It's a tough space for them to negotiate just as a franchise with how much they pushed it all in and then Brady eventually leaving. Okay. They had to restructure Vea, Godwin, and Carlton Davis to free up $44 million in cap space just to get under the cap. I assume something might be coming with Brady and that monster cap hit that he has, something similar to what Drew Brees did, where he renegotiated his deal and got his cap number down that year and they kind of pushed it out a little bit. I don't know exactly how that would work, but if you look at their books right now, just like again on over the cap, it's still on there. So hopefully they can do something with that to lower that a little bit. But the Godwin thing lets me know they're probably not trading Chris Godwin. I will say, among those names, one I did not mention is Mike Evans, which makes me just turn into Brian Windhorst. It's like, so what does that mean? If they renegotiated and restructured all of these deals to free up cap space, but they didn't do it with Mike Evans, what could that potentially mean? I don't know anything, by the way.
No.
But the fact that he's not involved in this group.
They renegotiated Russell Gage, too.
Maybe that and Russell Gage. So I don't know.
I know.
We'll see what happens with that.
There's a little bit of smoke. But no, that's... I actually was interested if Baker would kind of land somewhere, like, because just what, you know, after what happened in December, and he still has that kind of pedigree with him. So I was curious, and the Bucs stuff makes sense for what the situation they were in. I watched Kyle Trask. I wasn't like a huge on him coming out of the draft. Didn't think he was kind of had the athletic ability to what quarterbacks are nowadays in 2023. But I watched him in this preseason, and he was much improved and actually making some like ballsy throws that I didn't know he had in his game. I actually became a little bit more of a fan of him. He was a preseason breakout. I think I did some article to fill the time in August. And he was one of them. So I was curious. And then this whole year, he was inactive. He was the number three the entire year. Week 18, they played the Falcons. I had a tweet about this. I'm like, why aren't you playing him? Like, why aren't you just giving him a game, a run where you just see what you got? But that told me, even though this Bucs franchise, even though Arians wasn't the coach, those coaches, they don't like playing young guys. As I've had a pound the table
also,
for Rashad White.
They've played their guys in meaningless games over the last couple of years, if I remember correctly. Even when they had nothing to gain, even 2 years ago, I think that they played those guys in a week 18. I think it was against Atlanta.
Yep.
And just to give them run heading into the playoffs. So I think they kind of believe we need to keep guys fresh, keep rhythm, whatever.
Well, no, and I believe that, Mike, but Brady was out, obviously. But that was the thing. I was like, why? Like, okay, I get it. But you know what Blaine Gabbert is. Like, we know what Blaine Gabbert is. That's, it was just a weird team exercise or team, like, future to look through a lens of maybe what they're thinking about their guys. But that kind of, like, spoke to me. I was like, are you guys committed to this? Now they got, you know, new offensive guys in there that are not committed to Trask whatsoever. So I figured they would make some shape, some move of some way to have a guy to be kind of like that bridge guy for whatever their next step is.
I don't know what their next step is.
I don't
know. So now you cut your left tackle. Maybe you move Wirfs over there, but now you only have one tackle.
Yeah.
You have Baker Mayfield at quarterback, and you still have a decent amount of those pieces. I don't know what to expect from that team this year. Let's say if Baker Mayfield wins that job. I mean, the NFC South quarterback situations are getting very interesting very fast.
Yeah.
We have Baker in Tampa, Derek Carr now in New Orleans. But let's all right. So Baker Mayfield gets dropped down to the Bucs. The Panthers pick C.J. Stroud with the first overall pick. Who, in your mind, is the best team in the NFC South?
I'm going with the Panthers, even with the rookie quarterback.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just the defense. I think the defense is going to be a true plus-plus unit, and I think that's what's going to help them so much.
I think I'd pick the Saints. I'm worried about the defense in New Orleans. I think I've said this a bunch over the last couple weeks since the Carr signing happened. I get how you arrive at Derek Carr for $25 million, $30 million a year being your best option over the next three seasons. But one of the pillars of that argument is we have a great defense. So if we get average quarterback play with an interesting, intriguing group of receivers at the very least, a solid offensive line, and we stay a top 5-7 defense, we're the best team in the division. Defense pretty old, man. They got old guys over there.
Losing some guys.
But the first part of that argument for them being that sort of team hinges on the defense staying good. And I am a little bit concerned about that, but I just think I have more faith in the current construction of their roster than any of the other teams. Because the Carolina's offense is going to be such a wild card.
That's the thing. If T.J. Moore was still on that Panthers team, I'd almost like not even blank and say that. But it's like now it's like, oh, they still have to answer pass catcher. I wish Derek Carr was on the 2022 Saints. Like, that would have been a lot more kind of interesting and fun
that's
for me.
That's what happens, right?
Is that I know.
These teams,
daily, dollar mind, short.
In their minds, he is on the 2022 yes. Saints, but that's yes. never how it works.
No, it's not.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
All right, some other restructure housekeeping that is worth mentioning that I don't think we've talked about. Just to keep in mind as we set the table for free agency here. The Cowboys restructured Dak and Zach Martin to free up $30 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. So they potentially have some room to make a move right now.
Oh, no.
Even with a $1.7 million cap hit, Dak still has a $27 million or $1.7 million base salary. Dak has a $27 million cap hit this year.
Yeah,
anyway,
maybe.
they have a $50 million in space right now. There are some other moves that they can make. We'll see what happens with Zeke. So they have some flexibility to add to this team. These are all teams that we're going to talk about here that I think want to do some winning this season.
Yes.
The Jets restructured multiple guys to get about $15 million more of cap space. Wonder why they need that. Secondary, it's whoever's going to be playing quarterback for the Jets. Quincy Williams signed a 3-year, $18 million extension. Good for your guy, man.
Yeah,
I thought he was a name worth keeping an eye on that off-ball linebacker market.
Yes.
With some of these guys who could be getting paid a shitload, he probably wouldn't. Would he have been a smart investment for some team in the open market this year? Not going to get a chance. He's going back to the Jets.
He was on our second part of this show. He was one of my Kirkland brands, and apparently he's not. He might be more like Target brand, I guess, or whatever their own brand is. I think that's what he is now. Sorry, Costco. I love you, Costco, as well. But yeah, it might be a little upper tier of that. But yeah, no, happy
just
for him.
Alienating potential sponsors of this show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know Costco and Target. I'm sorry, guys. No,
that's all right. They're not big companies.
Quincy Williams had a great year. He deserved to get paid this. Like, he really, really did. I have said this before on the show. Like, I had him, as my honorable mentions, if we had a third team All-Pro, he would have made that. Like, that's how good he was this year. He was the best Jets linebacker last year.
Also, just he's a tone setter. He's an attitude guy.
26.
I like him. Just staying there and keeping with their going.
I have my notes from the Kirkland section still right here in front of me. And I said, slow down for him mentally, but he is anticipating. He has speed. I go, 26 years old. I would love him on a 3-year deal. And he got a 3-year deal.
There
I'm pretty fired up for him.
Chargers restructure Joey Bosa, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Khalil Mack. When we were having our Chargers conversation the other day, I feel like, well, they might not want to do this because a lot of these guys are getting older. Do they want to push this money into future years? The answer apparently is yes.
I guess so.
Our Daniel Popper at The Athletic mentions on Twitter that next season with these restructures, here are the cap hits for those four players. Khalil Mack is at $38.5 million.
Unbelievable.
Joey Bosa is at $36.6 million. Mike Williams at $32.5 million. Keenan Allen, $34.7 million.
Well, real quick, you made a big deal about the Dolphins having X amount of players over $20 million.
Yes.
How about having four over $30 million, and none of them are your quarterback? Because I know he's on a rookie deal, but none of those names were the quarterback that you listed for
over
$30
million. Who's about to make a shitload of money.
So much money. So much
money. You think there's some urgency in Los Angeles to make the most of the 2023 season?
Yeah, I think so. I think, wow. That's so much money for a lot of 30-something-year-old players injury histories.
Oh, absolutely. This is one of those moves where this is a problem for future whoever.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You're coaching and team building potentially for your jobs this season. This is a, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
We're doing everything we can. We'll deal with it later. We'll figure the rest out later.
Yeah. Somebody else deal with it or we deal with it later. And hopefully it's in a good way. If we're still around, that means something good happened.
If some of these guys were released, you know, the numbers are not astronomical in dead money, but they're not small. 10 figures for all of them. $15 million for Khalil Mack, $22 million for Joey Bosa, $12 million in dead money for Mike Williams, $11.6 million in dead money for Keenan Allen.
God.
Here we go, man.
Tom Telesco, you've done it again.
Here we go. I mean, this is it. It is put up or shut up time, and I think that they deeply understand that. So a lot of fun stuff going on. Here's some guys hitting free agency for them next year. Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler.
Pretty good.
I mean, it's
the number one offensive weapon last year.
And there's that $19.4 million cap hit for J.C. Jackson on the 2024 books as well. So they have no dead money on this year's cap, but that's because they decided to keep all these guys.
Push the dead cap down the road.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Man, just even looking like, you know, because Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa was the outside linebacker, like just their defensive line, like their spending on that. It's just hilarious.
Because they're all free agents.
Yeah, but it's just, it's like Sebastian Joseph, okay, a couple of years, but then it's just a whole bunch of guys making under $1 million because it's the stars and scrubs. Like they're just, whatever. We need to piecemeal this somehow, some way, shape, or form. So that it's just funny when you start looking at how teams are, where their spending goes. It really can be really funny to look at.
With all of those moves, God, the base salary is hilarious. 1.2 for Mac, 1.2 for Bosa, 1.1 for Mike Williams, 1.2 for Keenan Allen. They have $19 million in cap space as it currently stands.
Okay.
They have some holes to fill.
Yes, they do.
They're starting right tackle from last season is hitting free agency. I think they'd like to have him back at the right price to potentially fill that gap. And they have some options to kind of fill out the rest of their interior, their offensive line. If they move on from Matt, they already cut Matt Filer. I believe they did. From Matt Filer,
yeah.
I think that they have some in-house options. They
still there.
Zion Johnson. Jamari Sawyer can play guard for them. So they have some in-house options on the interior. But right tackle is still going to be a question for this team. And probably the biggest question, again, for the second straight offseason when you look at that offense.
After the season, they have to figure out center. Like that. I mean, probably with Corey Linsley getting up there in age as well. It's a one-year team. That's how I'm looking at the Chargers. And then after this, it's going to be Rashawn Slater, Justin Herbert, and insert a whole bunch of different names there after that.
All right, let's get to some of these free agent bargains that you want to chat about here. So the idea here is we have some guys at the top of the market who are going to get paid like guys at the top of the market. We wanted to talk about some alternatives who maybe could be a little bit more affordable than what those brand name guys might go for as free agency gets going in a couple hours here. So where do you want to start?
Oh, man. Let's just continue the linebacker discussion. So cross off Quincy Williams. There's a lot of linebackers available. Some names available as well. You got Edmonds. You got Bobby Wagner. You got, you know, some notable linebackers at the top of the market. Having said that, I think there's a nice little group of kind of middle-class players that can maybe really outplay whatever contract you give them. Quincy Williams is one of them. I actually think that's a very fair deal for him for what he brought to the table last year, but he's off there. But the number one name for me would be the third linebacker from the 49ers, and that's Azeez Al-Shaair. And that's my Kirkland brand linebacker. I think this guy is a legit, legit starting caliber, plus starting caliber linebacker. He just has missed a little bit of time with injuries. The 49ers like the little undersized guys, speedy guys. But on top of it, he had two all-pro caliber guys ahead of him in Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. And on top of it, when they went nickel, they had a guy, Jimmy Ward, playing in the slot. So they didn't really have to play out of base with three linebackers. But he is a heat-seeking missile. He's disruptive. He's athletic. He's a tone-setting type of player. He always has kind of the J.J. Watt elbow guards on.
Yeah.
Like he always
which just looks like a row. When guys have similar play styles and sizes at positions on teams, yeah, give me the elbow guard every time so I can figure out who's who when I'm watching them on tape.
Having to watch like a plethora of college receivers in the last couple of weeks, and this is the thing. Just give me – talk to college receivers. Receiver coaches should talk to their players and go, wear one piece of garment, something on your uniform that makes you stand out. Have a high sock, a long sleeve, just something that makes it easier. I've had to look at the freaking Tennessee Volunteers wearing these gray with shiny orange jersey numbers, and I can't tell who anyone is from a distance. It got annoying. But anyways, but Al-Shaair, really, really good player, a disruptive player. I think whatever contract he is, he can outplay it. I'd be really looking at him as a nice little, if you just need a hole there and you want like a real good starter, or a good starter that can play for you, like not just like, oh, is this guy's an idea? He's already proven he's disruptive and a good player. He's the number one guy that I'd be looking at this aisle of the free agency market.
I mean, I love him with the Texans. Just go have a guy who's been in your system, who understands the head coach, understands how to communicate the defense.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I think that one makes a lot of sense potentially for a team like them. I also have a linebacker one. You know, Tremaine Edmonds reportedly is going to get like real, real money, which. Had a really good season last year.
He did.
Has the pedigree of a first-round pick.
Yep.
You know, is very young, obviously. And that draft status follows you around into moments like this.
It does. It does.
I don't know if I would want to pay Tremaine Edmonds $18, $19 million a year when I could get a guy like Jermaine Pratt for half of that. Jermaine Pratt played for the Bengals last season. Similar to Edmonds. Had the best season of his career by a pretty wide margin last year. I thought he was fantastic in stretches last season, especially in coverage. So if you need a starting caliber linebacker and you don't want to pay pass rusher money for a guy like Tremaine Edmonds, can you go get a guy like Jermaine Pratt for half of that? And I think, again, these are the conversations you have to be having with yourself as free agency gets going.
And the guy, he's 27. He's barely missed any time like in his career. He's only missed a handful of games his entire career, usually like one a year. That's valuable because you're paying these guys to play snaps for you. But I think that's a great call, especially the replacement player you're saying with Edmonds. It's like same type of player and actually has probably outplayed him a little bit. But it's just that he doesn't have that name recognition because he's on the kind of no-name Bengals defense. I mean, that is a positive. But no, I think that's a great, great call with Pratt.
Even at the among fairly anonymous Bengals linebackers, he's less well-known than Logan Wilson.
Yes. Yes. No, that's... No, I that's what you got to look at, too. Like, even with the Al-Shaair signing or nomination, I say, for this, you're looking at teams that have a lot of options at these positions that maybe these guys didn't get the playing time or recognition that their other, like, high-renowned guys got. Like, Matt Milano, finally, his recognition caught up to him this year. Now he was not all-pro on everybody's teams. He outplayed Edmonds the entire tenure together. But Edmonds actually had his best year, but even Milano outplayed that. But it's just funny how just the name recognition really just carries over to that. Like you mentioned, the first round pick and all that stuff that when it goes on, it's a free agency market as well.
Who's your next one?
Let's go to safety. I was just staying on defense here. If you're looking at signing Jesse Bates for a big money deal, how about Kirkland brand Julian Love? Another kind of do-it-all type of safety, smart player. I would bet on Love. Incredibly versatile. He's a green dot player for them. Check for me. You call the plays? Yeah, let's go for it. 25 years old. The guy using the blitzing system a little bit, but I think he can just do everything well. As a blitzer, as a coverage guy, as a run defender, can play in the box, can play back. You know, Jesse Bates is more of a deep player, but it's very smart, gets guys lined up. I think Love can be that for you. I would look at it like a Jordan Whitehead type deal, a 2-3-year, you know, middle range kind of deal, but that's exactly where I'd pay him. I think his best football is ahead of him. I'm a fan of this player, and I just think that if you're in the safety market, you can find these useful players for a discounted price, especially with what I think Bates is going to get in this offseason.
I did also have Jesse Bates. I said Juan Thornhill.
Love it.
If you're going to, again, if Jesse Bates is going to make $16 million a year in free agency and be at the top of the mm-hmm. safety market, do you need that? Like, do you need a $16 million a year safety at that position specifically when it really is about making sure that you have adequate play more? I was talking to an offensive coach about this at the combine, and it was the first time I'd really heard an offensive play caller say this. She's like, I've never played against a post safety, like a coverage safety, where I had to really change what I had to do going into the week. And if that's the case, where there are players that are not going to alter offensive game plans in a meaningful way, do you want to pay $16 million a year for that guy?
For a glorified safety net?
Right.
You're right.
Jesse Bates has worked that money based on what safeties have been paid. And I think that he will probably get something close to that based on his consistency first and foremost, right? Yes. That is what you're paying for with him. The last 3 years, he's played at least 1,000 snaps. Okay.
And a pro's pro. Like, yes. He's going to change your room and make it a veteran presence.
That has value, right?
It does.
That absolutely has value. But I think positionally, thinking about that spot, guess who else has played over 1,000 snaps the last two seasons? Juan Thornhill.
Right.
So if you can do it for $8 million a year instead of $16 million a year, again, I just think that's where the mindset probably should be with some of these teams that are trying to fill starter snaps with free agency.
Yes. Yeah. Is a tier drop off worth $8 million? At safety, I think it is. You know what I mean? Like that, it's not, or a tier up is not worth $8 million to me. Maybe two. You know, that's, I totally get what you mean. I'm totally agreeing with
that,
you.
That difference in $8 million is another starter.
Correct. At a lot of positions. Or it could be two. If you that's a running back and somebody else, you know, you could really find something there. I have another safety one too. And that's, looking at C.J. Gardner-Johnson, why not pay for a rental for 31-year-old Jimmy Ward? I think same type of player.
I should have known safety this is coming.
Oh, yeah. My second-team All-Pro. Has proof of playing safety. He has battled injuries throughout his year. That's why I'm saying now he's 31. You're not paying him huge, huge money. But him, the fact that he played as a plus-plus player from the slot last year. Yes, the 49ers defense was loaded, but he's already shown that he's a good player. That's awesome. That snaps played no matter what you have in your DB room. And again, another pro's pro, a positive impact in your locker room, sets a tone. He's smart. He has a good attitude when he plays.
Awesome against the run too. Yep. There's a physicality to the way
useful.
That he plays. Yeah.
And I think if you're a team that has a hole there and you're okay, we got to find some way, a 1 or 2 year deal for Jimmy Ward, I would love it. I think he's somebody that should go on a good team because he deserves it. Cause I think that's just it could be a good fit for whatever team needs him.
Yeah, that's a, like, how close are we sort of thing. Is this like a finishing touch on an otherwise very good roster? Because he's already 31. He's going to be 32 when the season starts.
Exactly.
A couple of these guys, though, Julian Love's 25. Thornhill's 27. He's a little bit older than you might think, but still can entering the prime of his career.
27, 28, 29. You can get him before 30.
I mean, there's some guys here that are still right in that range that
Nasir
become
Adderley?
Pretty interesting.
He's in there too. I would take a flyer on him if they're letting him go as well. Seems like they are.
All right, one more for me here that I had. Dalton Schultz is likely going to make a decent amount of money in free agency, $14-15 million a year. Why not Foster Moreau for less than half that, especially at tight end?
Yes.
Okay. We've talked about this where the breakouts for these guys can come a little bit later.
Yep.
It's hard to know exactly who's going to settle into that sort of player and. Second contract, second phase of their career. Moreau had a good chance to kind of show that off last year with Darren Waller hurt, didn't necessarily tap into that. But he, in flashes, I have been impressed by him. So is he one of those guys that, again, in that second stretch of your career from 26 to 28 at a tight end can kind of become a different version of himself? And it's going to cost a lot less to go get a guy like that than it probably will to pay out for Dalton Schultz.
And he's last year in their offense too, he was asked to do things like lead block and show kind of a different skill set than he's shown maybe before. And he excelled. I Foster Moreau is one of mine as well. So I'm kind of like fired. I have my notes ready, but you're paying, he's an auxiliary pass catcher with upside. And if you pay him and like coming to be your number four pass catcher, like that's pretty, what's upside to get to number three, maybe even better. He's only 26. And he's done a lot of roles. He's been in the backfield. He's been in line. He's split out.
Good athlete, them, too.
Good athlete. Hey, bet on the big, big athletes. That's what you bet on a tight end. Hope you they can figure it out. And he started to figure it out. No, I agree. This was another one I had. Another one I had was RFA, which was Juwan Johnson. He ended up signing a deal
with the Saints.
Yeah.
82nd percentile broad jump for Foster Moreau. 86th percentile vertical. Ran a 4.66 at 253 pounds. 95th percentile short shuttle. I mean, the guy's got some traits.
Yes.
And if you're going to bet on some traits for guys that could potentially break out on those second deals, and break out in a modest way. Break out to make it worth paying him $7 million a year in free agency.
But I'd much rather have that than, and I like Dalton Schultz, but Dalton Schultz is just Mr. Security Blanket. You know, he's not like a true one-on-one winner. He's a zone beater underneath guy. And he's blocking. He's a shield blocker. Foster Moreau actually has upside as like a Y, an inline Y. Dalton Schultz just kind of gets by. I'd much rather have the guy with upside that would pay him $5 million less. I just think
we talked about the tight end market and the recent history of the tight end market on the Mistake Show that we did. And those big money tight end deals.
Scary.
They're a little bit daunting to me. So if I can shop in a different aisle at that position specifically, I'd be tempted to do it.
I agree.
Any more that you have?
Oh, do I?
Boy, I can always count on you.
Okay, Edge. Second year in a row, I'm nominating this guy. This is the Millsap Doctrine. This is Obo Crockro from Texans. He was on a one-year deal last year. He had more snaps, and guess what? His stats stayed sticky. His pressure rates, everything stayed sticky with more snaps. He's 28, and again, if I were a contender looking for a guy to be my third rusher on passing downs or, you know, rotational guy that plays to my 30 good snaps a game, this guy, no matter what, has been productive. He had like top 20 in pressure rates this past year. Like, this guy is a legit pass rusher that's gotten better each year. If he can stay healthy for you, if I were a contender, I'd no brainer. Give this guy a 1 or 2 year deal just to drop in. Also, any of the 49ers pass rushers that are free agents, your guy, Charles Omenihu.
I was going to mention him.
Same pressure rate as Brian Burns, DeMarcus Lawrence, and slightly better than Marcus Davenport and Danielle Hunter. Why would I not give this guy
one? He's 25.
Yeah. Why wouldn't I bet on this guy? And I get it. They are loaded up front, but this guy has been productive. That's why you tabbed him as a breakout candidate. Or Samson Ebukam. Same pressure rate as Khalil Mack. And he's more of a contributor in the run game. Either of those guys. And then I got other ones, but those are the big three. But way, way deep. This is even below Kirkland Brand. This is I'm not going to name another potential sponsor, but from the Giants. And this is like a true home run swing. Not even a home run swing. Just give this guy a 1 year deal or 2 year deal just to see if he can do anything. I just like this guy as far as a prospect. He's shown a little bit, and that's O'Shane Zimanis from the Giants. Hasn't really done a ton. He's had a couple moments where he looked okay. Had a testing thresholds that I look at as far as broad jump and short shuttle that I look at for pass rushers, and he met those marks as a prospect. Has had stretches where he was productive. I'd take a flyer on this guy. I just want to throw his name in as well because it also has just a cool name, how it's spelled, like Ximines. I've never seen someone spell that last name.
It is a very cool name.
Yeah, so that's another one I would throw on there as far as edge players as maybe just taking a 1 or 2 year flyer.
The class overall is not top heavy at all. I mean, the best guy available in free agency in this class is probably Marcus Davenport based on like talent. But Marcus Davenport obviously has had a lot of trouble staying healthy.
Yep.
I mean, the guys other than that, you're looking at Menihu, Arden Key, Clowney, Ebukam. I mean, some older players like Melvin Ingram, Frank Clark. You know,
a lot of mercenaries.
and there's some guys that I think I'd want to take a potential flyer on if I was trying to rebuild my room. Like DeMarcus Walker was good for the Titans in stretches last year.
Dante Fowler had one of his best years. Like that's another gun for hire.
Unfortunate one that in a different world, if he hadn't gotten hurt, I would be talking about him in a much different way just because he really impressed me last year is Dwayne Smoot. But he's coming off that torn Achilles.
Yeah.
So it's just hard to know. But let's say you can get him on a one-year prove-it deal and you're a contender, again, just trying to like add a little bit of juice to that group. He's another one that I think is pretty interesting. So not a lot of star power or big names in that group, but if you just want to find some contributors, I think you can there. But it also brings me back to that Washington conversation. If you really do need edge help, phone calls.
Knock, knock, knock. Yes. Yep. Yep. What you guys thinking? I agree with that. Can I kick inside the defensive line, interior defensive line?
Yep.
We go, okay, I got one interior guy, Raheem Nunez-Roches from the Bucs. Has been a very good and rotational backup role the last few years. But even when Veo has been down or different guys have been hurt, been a really good plugger. Where at times where I thought he was Veo for a split second, and I was like, oh no, that's Nunes Roches, with also a great name. He has the same TFL and run stuff rate as Calais Campbell and Leonard Williams. Same total amount as Leonard Williams. He's 29. So this is more of like a contender that you're trying to plug someone up. But like we talk about just finding these guys, like the Browns could use this guy so badly.
Yeah.
And he could be such a good interior guy for them. The Chargers like could look at a guy like this. Like just guys that need interior help to stop the run. This guy's a contributor and he's done well, especially with more snaps. If you're looking at RFA candidate, Tier Tart, but I don't know if you want to give up a second round pick, but he's be something, someone really interesting because that's another plus plus player. And he hired Drew Rosenhaus. So I do think that he's expecting to get paid somewhat soon as well.
There just aren't that many positions even where there is a brand name player available in free agency.
No.
I mean,
that's why I'm not naming the guy that's the brand name. I'm just like, hey, these are some guys that are lower that I like.
I mean, it was, as we get going here, I mean, the spots to watch are the right tackle market. Yep. There's some corners who are going to get paid. And then what's going to happen with Orlando Brown and eventually Donovan Smith. I mean, and other than that, we talked about the off-ball linebackers a little bit. Yeah. But
see if Yash Nieming has a market. Let's see it.
Happens every year where we sit there and like, all right, you know, who's going to be the big name guys in free agency? And then you look at the list and it's like,
yeah, I know.
There are going to be like a lot of starters. There are going to be a lot of starting players or guys.
If I were a contender with money, I'd be very happy right now. Because there's a lot of useful players.
Yes.
But if I'm rebuilding.
Not a lot of headline grabbing guys.
Correct.
I guess is what I would say.
That's a good way to put it. Our guy Zacchaeus. Oh my God. I mean, that's another like receiver market. That's my only like Kirkland brand. I try to find somebody else that would like, I couldn't find my Kendrick Bourne this year. If I had one, that would be him as far as the Kirkland brand guy. But like a 2-year, $8 million, 2-year, $10 million deal. Could be useful.
All right. Well, we're going to find out a lot more about all of this here in the coming hours. So for those of you listening on Monday morning, just a reminder, 3:30 PM Eastern, we will be live on YouTube breaking down all the things that have happened over the first 3 hours of the tampering period. May not be a lot. We'll figure out. We'll figure it out. I wanted to do it the same time every day.
Yeah, I like
that. And so that was the thought. So even though if there's only 3 hours of time between now and then, I'm sure we'll have plenty, or 3 hours between the start of the tampering period when we're going to record. I'm sure there will still be plenty to talk about. Again, we'll be doing those every day this week. Be me and you Monday through Thursday. I believe Randy and Mike are going to take Friday because I will not be around. But we would highly encourage you guys to come hang out. Those will be available as podcasts when we are done, as they always are. So no worries there. For now, that is all we have. We'll be back later today. Appreciate your guys' time. We'll talk to you soon.
This was the Athletic Football Show.
Hey, hey.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.